Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
What are we all thankful for? I'm thankful for a wife that can pass me notes during worship to remind me that I forgot to give an announcement. So, reminder tonight before the Sunday night sing that dinner will be available at 6 o'clock. So if you want to come and have dinner with one another, and then we'll go over here for the performances and all that, you are welcome to come. All are invited, okay? What's for dinner? Food. Pasta. Okay? One of the things that I'm grateful for is when the Holy Spirit moves. When He calls out to individuals and asks them to be faithful in service and to allow God to use them in ways that maybe not normally they do, and they take a step of faith. And then this morning, instead of me preaching, I have an individual who's going to come up and preach this morning. You know him quite well. He's an ordained deacon here, but him and I have talked over some time. He submitted notes to me to make sure that we were all okay and all those good things. And he said, we were talking, and one of the things he said, I hope everyone forgot their tomatoes today. So please, as you were so kind to me so many years ago when I first preached, I would ask that you give a warm welcome to one of our deacons and fellow brothers and wonderful man of God, Warren Garabo.
Good morning. I'm sure I've shocked a lot of people, especially my wife. Nobody thought I'd be up here, and it's kind of a miracle in itself, I guess. But kind of an introduction to this. I taught at Outwater High School for 38 years. And I see some of my students that are here. One of my first-year students sitting back there, Jerry. And I run on different situations. And one other thing I wanted to talk about this morning is I'll start out, I had a student happened to be from Winton, really, really good student. And he'd do everything in auto shop. If somebody needed something heavy to lift, he'd be there. If they needed to break a bolt loose, they weren't strong enough, he'd be there. Just a great kid. And he graduated from high school, of course, and I'd see him once in a while. And one day he came over to my house, and he was excited. There was a big car show someplace, I can't even remember where. And he told me about it, and it sounded really interesting. So we talked a little bit, and then he said, he told me when it was. And it was on a Sunday. And I told him, I'm sorry I can't go on Sunday. I have a family. We go to church on Sunday. And he stopped and looked me right in the eye, and he said, I've never been to church. What do you do there? And when he came to tell me about this car show, he said, I only got a couple minutes. Well, I said, I really can't explain what goes on in church in just a couple minutes. I said, could you come back someday when you got plenty of time, and I'd be glad to explain what goes on. Okay, he says, well, you know how it is. He was out of high school. He had a girlfriend. He got married. Had a couple kids. And I hadn't seen him much, but then he died much too young. And so naturally, I went to his funeral. And it was surprising. The place was just packed. And most of the people were young men. Some were high school age. Many of them were like college age and so forth. And the funeral happened to be an open casket funeral. If it hadn't, I probably wouldn't even thought about it. But the pastor was going through the things, talking about his growing up and all this thing, and then He said to the student Bill, he says, "Don't worry, he's not here. He's gone to heaven." And I saw people punching each other and questions on their mind. What do you mean he's not here? He's laying right there. I got the casket open. So they didn't realize what was going on. That's what got me going in this. And I kind of forgot about it till the late Charlie Kirk talked about something like this. And so I was just kind of compelled to do this. So he didn't know about the soul. So to tell this whole story, I think I need to go back to the beginning. And we look at Genesis 1, the beginning, the first four words of your Bible are "in the beginning, God." And for these people that don't understand this, they have to realize there is a God. They have to have faith there is a God. They have to trust that there is a God, and so forth. It hit me pretty hard. And so in Genesis there, it'll talk about how God created the universe and everything else. But then get down to verse 26. And God said, the Bible says, God said, "Let us create man in our own image." And first of all, some people say, us, who's God talking to? He's not talking to himself. Well, his son was there with him when he created the earth. They didn't call him Jesus, and they called him God's son, because Jesus was not born yet. Well, you know how Jesus came about. And the world was populated, and it became corrupt and immoral. And so God had Noah build the ark. I'm sure even little kids know the story of Noah's ark. So God brought the flood and destroyed everyone on earth except those eight people, Noah's family. After the flood was gone, the waters evaporated and dried up and so forth. The world was again populated. It takes a while. All this stuff takes a while. Now, God created the earth thousands of years ago, but he's still here. So that's one thing we have to know about God, that God is eternal, everlasting. He's here yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so after the flood and the earth was populated again, well, you know what happened. The earth became corrupt and immoral. That's where we are today. If you don't believe it's immoral, stand in line in a grocery store and look at all these magazines and stuff that have all this crud on them. People buy this stuff and they're listening to it. So it's really very sad. But anyway, when God said, "Let us," he was talking about his son. Later he sent his son, Jesus, who is here with us now, to try to save us from destruction. Well, in that same verse, he said, "Let us make man in our own image." And when you read that, I say, gee, I don't think God looks like me. And you look at this church, and everybody's got a different face. God can't look like them. So what do you mean by creating in our own image? Well, God is eternal, and he created us to be eternal. Every person sitting here has eternal life. Even the Muslims, the Koreans, the Norwegians, Betty, all of them. Everybody has eternal life. Now, what you do with that eternal life is really the question. And going back to this funeral, when the preacher said, "He's not here," well, what he meant was his soul is gone, but the body's still there. It mentions some places in the New Testament about they can kill the body but not the soul, because the soul's eternal. And so when he said create man our own image, he created every person with a soul. Everybody has a soul. It's what you do with the soul that is very important. And the soul's eternal. It's everlasting, living forever. Well, for the person that leads a righteous life and tries to follow the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, everything that's in the Bible. Nobody's perfect. Jesus was perfect walking this earth. Everybody else does things that God doesn't like, probably every day. So what we have to remember, when a person dies, the instant they die, the soul leaves the person. And where does the soul go? It's got two directions, up or down. If the person has been righteous and everything, did the best they could, Jesus will recommend to God that this is a good person. He should go to heaven, or he or she. In heaven, of course, that's where God is. That's where all the saints are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, anybody you ever martyred is there. Plus, you have some of your friends and relatives there. My first wife, I was married for over 50 years, and she died. She studied your Bible all the time, just like Paula does. So I know where she's at. Well, we'll meet those people in heaven, but we'll have a heavenly body. We'll be different. We won't be married in heaven. Jesus made that clear. The Pharisees tried to trip him up on somebody that had been married more than once, and Jesus said there'll be no marriage in heaven. So we don't worry about that. But everything in heaven, there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more going to the doctor, no more worrying about weight loss, or nobody worrying about wheelchairs or anything. Everything's perfect. Now, if the person dies and they didn't lead that righteous life, the soul goes the other direction. Goes to hell. Now, hell is a place where God is not. Hell is the place where Satan, the devil, and all his helpers live. And the Bible talks about the wrath of God. It talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth, the people in hell. It's not a nice place to go. I have he's actually a pretty good friend. I haven't seen him for quite a while now, but he said to me one day, well, he said, I'm going to go to hell because that's where all my friends are going. Well, the only thing that's true about that is probably that's where his friends are going. But when you're in hell, you won't have any friends. Everybody will be fighting against everybody else. And the other thing that's important to remember is that it's eternal. You don't measure it in days or months. Like if you got a prison sentence for 20 years, you get out and you're okay. When either one of these, you go to heaven or go to hell, it's permanent. And that's what we have to concentrate on. So I say to people, and let's see, making sure I got my button, my notes here. But what do we do about this? Well, I don't know. I don't have a better term for it, proper term, but I call it, we got to feed the soul. And so how do we feed our soul? Well, one thing, we come to church. But just walking through that door of the church doesn't save anything. We come at 9 o'clock, we go to Bible studies and so forth. So there's where we feed our soul. And I talk about Bible. Well, I hope every household that's represented here today has at least one Bible in their possession at home. Now, this time of year, Christmas coming up, if you got young kids, a Bible is really a good gift. I got my first Bible as a third grade. It's got my name on it. I still have it. And my grandpa wrote to me. I was living in Idaho at the time, and he wrote to me, and he said, I want you to memorize the 139th Psalm. The 139th Psalm has some real good stuff for you. So I memorized it because he said, when I come see you this summer, you're going to have to recite this back to me. He'd done this with all his nephews and nieces, and it was a good thing. I still remember it. So a Bible is very essential. Now, if you have a Bible sitting on it, you can't really learn through osmosis. You have to actually open the cover and read. Well, just reading, I know some people set up a goal to read the whole Bible in 1 year. Well, that's fine, I guess, but sometimes I don't know if they get too much out of it because it's a lot. So what I recommend, and Pastor Ray over there recommends, is that you take a section of the Bible. If you're new with the Bible, you got children just starting out, have them start in the Gospels. And just read maybe a chapter. Now, if you're reading a book like Gone with the Wind or something, a chapter may be 20 pages long. In the Bible, your chapter is only a page or two. So it's not that much. And you don't have to read the whole chapter. And there may be a section that's marked off for a certain purpose. So Pastor Ray reminded me a long time ago. You read that, and then you stop and you say, what I just read, how can I apply that to my life? What's going to change my life? What should I do? Well, sometimes you may not realize what it is, but maybe 2 or 3 days later, maybe longer, all of a sudden something comes up and you say, oh, that's what that verse was trying to tell me. And it's like you forget somebody's name and you just can't remember the name. In the middle of the night, you might remember it and jump up in bed and holler the name out or something. But you remember some of this stuff that comes out in the Bible. So one way we feed our soul, we come to church, we pay attention to church. We have a Bible, we read the Bible, we study the Bible. Another way of feeding the soul is about a few weeks ago, Pastor Chris preached about inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't jump into your life, just doesn't do it. You have to invite the Holy Spirit in your mind. The Holy Spirit, of course, is one of the Trinity, God the Father, Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's in your life, it'll help you make decisions. Sometimes, I'll talk about that a little bit. Anyway, that's one way to feed the soul. Another way is what we just did, singing. Dave has songs. I especially like the old songs because I'm old. But the old songs have a real meaning to them. You don't just sing them, but pay attention to what they're telling you. It's a real, real good story. So that's another way of feeding the soul. Another way, a good way, is prayer. And a lot of people don't know how to pray, I guess, or just reading a prayer or something doesn't do anything. You got to really concentrate on it. I remember going to a baccalaureate service. That's where they have church for the graduates. And I go into this baccalaureate, and when the thing was over, the final prayer, I even hate to say it, but the final prayer was a woman preacher. She fiddled around and found a piece of paper. It looked like about a half sheet of paper, and read about 3 lines on there and said, amen. It has as much meaning as nothing. The prayer has to come from within, something you're very serious about. And so that's not good. So anyway, one thing I wanted to read was talking about the people that their soul is headed for hell. Hopefully it's not there yet, because when the soul leaves the body, when you die instantly, the soul leaves the body and it goes to one of those two places, and you can't change it, and nobody can change it for you. I have a friend that his second wife had a friend, and every Saturday morning they got in their car and they drove to Fresno. They had a whole list of dead people they're going to pray into heaven. The Bible doesn't talk about that at all. When you die, your soul just stays there, so you better have it in the right shape when you go. Anyway, in Galatians it says here, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, dark drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those people would be going to hell, but there's still a chance. Before they die, they can repent and be saved. The Bible talks about that. There's, you know, the thief on the cross, and there's been murders. I knew a guy that come to our church. Stan remembers. He come to our church once. That was their Merced church. Went and shook hands with him and said, glad to see you. And everybody shook hands with him and so forth. We found out later, he even shook with a pastor, and he got to come in every week, and he told us that he was going to commit suicide that afternoon, but he decided to come to our church. He'd done things wrong. He says, I know I'm going to go to prison, but he said, I deserve it. And he did. He went to prison. In prison, he started a Bible study and saved and helped a bunch of people. The sad thing is he didn't live long enough. He died not long after that. But when he got out of prison, he had many young people, alcohol, drugs, you name it, would come to him for counseling. He just was a great, great guy. And so there is hope for people that have this, that are do these things, you know. In James 1:21, it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Also in James 3:9, it says, with the tongue you praise the Lord and God, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image. And in Peter, it talks about here, it says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Be self-control. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, I hope I've hit home here a little bit. The prayer can't be emphasized too much. The last 5.5 years, it's about... I have a mile marked off around my neighborhood, and I walk with my dog, Roscoe. Some days he walks me, other days I walk him. But I've gotten acquainted with different people around there, and different people have different perspectives. I know every one of you, if you have some friends or something, and if you ask them, are you a Christian? They say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But on Sunday, I see this walk. I walk real early in the morning Sunday, so I can come home and shower and everything else and get here. And I see different things. Some people are trimming their trees, mowing their lawn, washing the car. One guy, a couple weeks ago, it was early. It wasn't a Sunday, so it was a little later than this, and went by, and I always talk to him, and he said hi. And we know each other by first names. A lot of them I don't know their last name. But here he was loading his golf clubs up in his pickup. I said, a little early for golf, isn't it? He said, well, I go out to the country club, have a Bloody Mary, and then I'm ready to go golfing. That's the perspective of many people. They have some other reason not to go to church or to praise God or anything. So it's a scary thing. So... feeding our soul on the mile walk and the prayer time that I'm wearing, I pray for lots of people. Many of them are here, and I walk. I don't shout it out loud, but I just pray in a very low voice. And my dog thinks I'm talking to him. He loves me talking to him. So we go for a walk and go out for a mile every morning. I'm doing that for 5.5 years, unless it's raining. If it's pouring rain, I don't want to get wet. But that's where he talked to God about serious things. For example, if you have something coming up that makes a big, it's a big decision for you. You might be switching jobs. You might be buying a house. For some young people, it might be getting married. Ask God if the situation is right for you, and wait for the answer. Back in Moses' time, you know, Moses talked to God and God talked back to him. But that hasn't happened lately, I don't think. I don't know anybody who speaks directly, or where God speaks directly to them. But you pray about some of these things, and a few days later or something, you'll find out that God answers that some way or another, in some situation or another. So prayer is the very one of the most important ways to feed our soul. Another way, of course, is fellowship with other Christians. I don't know, I shouldn't be too critical or whatever, but sometimes you have to get to know the person before you go too far. I've seen a place, this is serious, where somebody comes and gets acquainted with everybody, and it's an insurance salesman. Gets acquainted with everybody and sells insurance, and after they've pretty well cleaned out this congregation, he'll go to another one. We had the person in Merced build us a church. He come to our church every Sunday. Nice man, very good. He was a contractor. We didn't have really a church. We were meeting in a gymnasium. He was a contractor. And he knew we were going to build a church, or wanted to. So he got the contract, built the church, nice church, everything right. Then we never seen him again. A little bit later, he divorced his wife. So I don't think everything was really set in his mind. So people come for different reasons, but good solid Christian people. I depend a lot on Ray Reed. He's always got the right answer. I love that guy. So anyway, that's about what I wanted to talk about this morning. And so it's kind of a challenge. If you'd, you know, I get up in the morning and look in the mirror. And I look in the mirror and I said, who is that old fossil staring back at me? And one thing you do, get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and talk to that person that's talking back to you. And it reminds me of a song that Elvis had, just the first line of the song. The rest of the song is basically stupid. But the first line of that song was, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? You look in the mirror, talk to that person, and say, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? Amen.
Feeding our soul is extremely important. And I know there's lots of stories that Warren could probably tell. He didn't tell 90 of them that I know about that he's told me over the years. But I think about that. I think about feeding my soul. What does that mean to you? What are the things that are in your life now that scream, my life is dedicated to Jesus? What is my purpose here? What does God have in store for me? And as we're going into the holiday of Thanksgiving, we think about the things that we're thankful for. We think about the things that maybe God has blessed us with. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know what, I really can't think of anything that I'm grateful for, maybe. Maybe my life is just in a place where I don't understand why I'm even here. And it's very difficult to allow yourself to experience that peace, that joy, that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. That comes through maybe family who lifts you up. Or friends, or co-workers, whatever it may be. But my prayer this morning, along with what Warren so eloquently put it to us, is that we find the ways that enrich our lives and understand that we don't experience any of those things unless we come to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we get into that holiday spirit once again, and the busyness and all the things that come with it, I want us to be mindful of the person sitting next to you. I want you to be mindful of the person that maybe you haven't called in 2 months, 3 months, year, 10 years. Maybe the family members that not as close as maybe they should be. And it doesn't matter whose fault or what the situation is, but maybe you dig deep down in your heart and you say, how can I help that person today? Now, I may take every ounce of your energy and you might not even be happy about doing it. But Christ calls us to do things with a cheerful heart, doesn't he? So that's my prayer for this Thanksgiving week and as we're rolling into the Christmas time, is that we're reminded of Jesus' love for us and the ways that he could easily just say, you know what, I really don't want to pray for Dave. I don't want to be alongside him because he's not really doing what I'm asking him to do.
I know.
All right, well, that's why I picked on you. But I mean, if we think about that for a minute, don't we all feel like that sometimes? That, you know what? What I'm doing is not really important. What I'm doing is not significant in the eyes of the Lord. But I will tell you this morning that it is very important to him. Even if you're sitting here this morning and you do not have a relationship to the Lord, I have good news. You can receive that even now.
Come on.
And so I'm praying that if that is you this morning, that you do not leave here without talking to me, or at least waving me down, or Dave, or any of our deacons. That would be the best gift of all. One of the things that I said that I'm thankful for is when the Holy Spirit moves and moves someone into service and doing the things that are uncomfortable. That's another thing that feeds my soul anyway. Is to see others come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love, love, love that. And I would love that for each and every one of you. So as Dave is coming, and we're finishing out this morning, please do not leave this morning without knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And then we take it that much further. We share that love with others who may or may not know that love. And watch as God prepares and watch as God blesses us through our time here on earth. Because it's short, is it not? It's gone in an instant. But we have a Lord and Savior who we get to one day stand with and fellowship and worship. What a great day that will be. Amen. Amen. Dave.
May I add something real quick?
Please.
I just want to qualify something. Last Sunday I mentioned that after Jesus completed everything, he sat down, representing nothing else can be done on behalf of our salvation. There's nothing we can do. Nothing. We just received the gift of eternal life. Just like the gentleman who called me this morning and asked if God's grace was still available to him through his tears. I said to him, there's nothing that we've done to deserve his grace or mercy, but he gives it abundantly to us. We just receive it. And I'm asking that of you this morning. Be certain that you know you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as we stand together. And as Pastor said, if you have decisions to make, please let it be now to make those decisions.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful and thankful for your love. Lord, as we go into this week and we know all the things that come with it, Lord, the fellowship, the food, the conversations that are going to be had, and Lord, sometimes we forget about those who maybe are not able to partake in that, that need healing, that need the touch of your hand. Lord, I ask and I pray that you would be with those individuals who feel that maybe hope is gone, that maybe they have nowhere to turn. But Lord, we know that they can turn to you. And Lord, I pray that you will place people in their life that will help them realize that. And Lord, when all is said and done, you get the glory, no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for our time together. Thank you for Warren and his words of wisdom. Lord, I am always grateful when, like Warren said, we have no idea that we were going to do this or that he would ever be in that position. But Lord, I'm thankful that you speak to his heart. I'm thankful for the leadership that he has here at this church. And Lord, I am just grateful for the people that you've brought to this church, that we're seeing growth, that we're seeing, more importantly, you move in them. The relationships being built, the relationships being built and strengthened through you. Lord, I am thankful. And I know we are all too. So Lord, as we go into this week of Thanksgiving, help us to be mindful of all the things around us, the opportunities that you will set forth before us, Lord, and that we will be those instruments of hope for you. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.